The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 51st verse. In John's Gospel, the feeding of the 5,000 leads to extended teaching in which Jesus identifies himself as the true bread of life. Finally, in these verses, he makes a connection that would not be understood until after his death in the light of the church's celebration of Holy Communion. And so we read, Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in him. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate. They died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In today's gospel lesson, we learned that Jesus came down from heaven and is now available to us in the form of bread and wine. Bread and wine, his body and his blood. This is nothing more than an earthly but divine taste of what we will all share in eternity. In our second lesson today, St. Paul, and that's what I'd like to concentrate on today, St. Paul writes about how we're to live as responsible Christians in this world until that promised time comes again. But as Paul says, the days are evil. So he reminds us that there are all kinds of dangers out there lurking in this minefield that we call life. He also says that Satan's out there, and Satan represents one of those dangers that we have to be very, very aware of, which is not so much in fashion today. But the devil can act like a little kitten, so lovable, so kind, so gentle. He can act that way in one moment and then attacked like a roaring lion. For Paul, another danger is the world itself. All you have to do is read the newspapers, listen to TV, watch the news, and you'll realize that one of the dangers that we as Christians face is this world itself, a world which has its own values, has its own habits, has its own attractions, things that will lure us away from that life that we will all share in eternity. And then the last danger that Paul talks about is called the flesh. And that's probably the most dangerous of all. So, to live responsibly, Paul recommends that we are to be wise and not foolish. He wants us to size up every situation that we find ourselves in and then do everything possible, praying and asking the Holy Spirit to work in our lives so that we might make good choices. Now, how successful we are is often depending upon where we are in our faith journey. Now, each person's faith journey is different. Each person's faith journey is shaped by its own experiences and its own personality, and to some degree, I think, nowadays in our modern world, by our DNA. But God, you know, has given us a faith in which to believe in Him and to follow Him and to trust Him. And this faith falls within three general categories, categories that are very similar to the stages that each and every one of us has gone through or will go through in our lives. And that is infancy, adolescence, and maturity. Now, an infant faith, it's really a fine faith. It's a wonderful faith. It's a saving faith. It's that faith that we received at our baptisms. It's a faith that was given to us by the Holy Spirit through the water and the Word. It's a faith that was sealed by the cross that was placed upon our heads. It's a saving faith. It's one that will always be with us, no matter who we are, where we go, or what happens in our lives. But it's still a fragile faith, a faith that is easily swayed, a faith that is easily lost. I was thinking last night about the thousands, I don't know if there are thousands, but maybe a thousand babies that I have baptized in my 30 years of ministry. I don't know if I would want to know for sure how many of those are still faithful to the promises that they made in that baptism. But it's easily slayed, it's easily lost. It isn't ready for all of the problems and all of the trials and all of the responsibilities in this world, and especially against all of those things that the devil will throw at us. Now, those in an adolescent faith stage are like someone who kind of flits back and forth between immaturity and maturity. Often such a faith tries to tackle everything. And when the going gets tough, it's easy to revert back, either revert back or away from one's infant faith. I was thinking last night about when I was an adolescent and could drive a car. And every time I would leave to go on a date or chasing girls or whatever we did back in those days, my mom would say, "Ronald, be careful, be careful." And I'd say, "Oh, Mom, I can handle it. There's no problem." I mean, I could have won the Indianapolis 500 at that age. No problem at all. We flip back and forth between immaturity and maturity. And many Christians tend to follow and to fall into one or two of these categories. Now, a mature faith, on the other hand, is the kind of faith which requires experience and time. No one begins with a mature faith. It's something that we, by the help of the Holy Spirit, grow into. And with the Holy Spirit's help, a mature faith comes through coping with problems and meeting trials and accepting the responsibilities that go with living in an unchristian world today. Now, having mature faith means that that we know, or we work toward knowing the meaning and purpose of the life that God has given us. And to me, Mother Teresa was probably the most ideal and well-known model of that kind of faith. But unfortunately, people without meaning and purpose, and it's happening, that's why our church membership everywhere is declining, and why there are so many people now saying that either they believe in God, but they don't have to go to church, or they don't believe in God, and they don't need God, but they float like driftwood in a river, kind of drifting wherever the current takes them. According to St. Paul, a mature Christian is someone who gives God, and boy, is that hard to do in this day and age, that gives God complete control of their lives. A mature Christian is someone who gives him praise and glory and honor and serves him above all else. Boy, is that hard to do in this day and age. A mature Christian is someone who thinks and speaks and acts out of love and compassion toward others. All you have to do is drive in San Antonio on 1604 or 410 or I-10 or that's hard to do. A mature Christian is someone who grows in grace and faith by joining a community at worship, like St. Paul here in Yorktown, Texas, and by faithfully receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion. A mature Christian is someone who cheerfully supports the work and the mission of his or her community of faith. And mature Christians know that they're responsible to God each and every second of their lives by being good stewards of their time and their abilities. Be it at work, as we experience leisure, as we play, no matter where it is. St. Paul also asks that we not act foolishly, but understand what the Lord's will is for us in our lives, and then to hold fast to that will. Sad to say, many people today don't know or don't care how God wants them to live. Hey, Lord, hey, are you up there? Hey, don't bother me, because I don't want to bother you. I can handle it my own way. I can lift myself up by my own bootstraps. I don't need you, Lord. Either way, God's will isn't a meaningful factor in their lives. Now, how do we know God's will? Well, Jesus answered this question this way. He said, "Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." So it's so important that we immerse ourselves in the scriptures and that we really listen to God's word. In a survey that was conducted a number of years ago, doesn't matter how many years ago it was found that Lutherans with a capital L, ranked last among major denominations in their knowledge of Scripture, something that can easily be remedied if we Lutherans would just take the time to study what God teaches about life and faith. I think Martin Luther must roll over in his grave every time he hears about this survey. To live responsibly, Paul also asks that we continually give thanks to God for everything. The world, however, teaches us to say the exact opposite. Hey, we don't need you, God. We've earned everything that we have. What is mine is mine, and no one else's. Oh, that is so prevalent today. You guys must really, well, you guys, there must be some people in this area that struggle with that every day of their lives as they reap the benefits of our oil boom. Hey, God, what is mine, and nobody else's. But mature Christians know that we're totally dependent upon God for everything. The food we eat, the clothing we wear, the homes that we live in, and the families that share it. But most importantly, for the life that we enjoy now and the life that's to come. So let's listen closely to Paul's advice. Let's live responsibly by knowing the meaning and the purpose of life, by using our time and our resources wisely, and by holding fast to God's will, and most of all, for giving thanks to Him for being that loving, gracious, caring, forgiving God that we have. To do this, we don't need what the world says we need. We don't need drugs. We don't need power. We don't need possessions to perk up our lives. We only need the bread of life. He is the source of everything that we need. He's the living bread that came down from heaven to fill our cups, to warm our hearts, and to guide our lives. So let's thank God for not only giving us purpose and meaning, but for also giving us a new life, a life that will last forever. Amen.